Could we kneel together to pray? Oh, Father in heaven, we've gathered this morning again in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Redeemer. And Lord, it's you that has called us out of darkness and into this marvelous light. It's you that has given us spiritual life within. It's you that has come and you're doing your continued work of sanctification in our hearts. And just this morning, as we're here again, we've gathered to sing, we've gathered to listen to your word. And we ask, oh Lord, please, by your Holy Spirit, send your Holy Spirit again in all of our hearts and draw us. And Lord, make us more Christ-like. Lord, help that we would be formed into the complete image of Christ. Lord, just now I ask that you would give me clear thoughts, give me the burden in a clear way, take my thoughts beyond my own abilities and my own studies and all that, and Lord, I ask that you would speak to all of us. Lord, we also ask for those that are gone, you know, some of the ones that are traveling over in Turkey. Lord, I ask that your grace and safety would be upon them. We ask also for those that are not able to be here this morning. Would you please give them sweet healing and rest? And Lord, we just want to surrender every area of our life to you. In Christ's name, amen. Subject I'd like to speak about this morning is anger, frustration, impatience, and sullenness. Anyone here that identifies with any of that? I think all of us do. I know that on the subject, at times there's various parts of this that we very much embrace, and there's various parts of this that we sort of think it's okay, and we just like to look at that a bit this morning. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4 for an opening scripture. Anger, frustration, impatience, and sullenness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20, we're going to start reading. It's going to break in here. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may be minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be put away. Be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I think this is a subject that we can, I think, all of us relate to in one way or another. Maybe I'll start a bit by giving you a bit of a peek into my own personal life this past week. So, in our home, we've had some discussions about carefulness. Last fall, my son Chris was driving down the road and he was listening. I believe it was Bible. He wasn't paying close enough attention, and a car stopped right in front of him. He ended up bumping it. Another one of my sons had an accident here a couple weeks ago. And we've been having these conversations in our home about, you know, just being a bit more careful. We've been talking about it at work. And so this past week, one day, my own personal pickup was out in Missouri. Someone had was using it out there. I was driving my son's pickup. And we sat driving around, and I went into a private drive. And it had just rained a couple days prior to that. And here there's someone in this private drive. There's also a couple places of business in there. And in this private drive, there's a pickup that had come down the hill, and somehow this pickup wasn't, it gave out and it wouldn't run anymore. And the driver, I don't know who the driver was, don't know whose pickup it was, but coming down in there, it obviously stopped, and he sort of pulled off, and half of it was out on the driveway. And with all the rain, there's various things that have happened, but there's traffic going through that private drive, and there's this big mud puddle there. Mud, water, everything is big mud puddle. And I was driving my son's truck, and it was just washed off and all nice and clean. Don't drive it very nice, and so I was trying to be careful, right? So I drive down there. It's like, well, I don't really have to go through here. Maybe I'll just leave it. I'll just turn around. I was just satisfying my nose and where I was with some things that were going on. And so I look around me. There's grass. The pickup in reverse, and I look, and I back up, crunch. And here there was an electric pole in the grass right where I was turning. $3,500 later. Okay, now consider with me what was going through my mind right at that moment. right at that moment. Okay? It was that driver. Why did he have to leave it? You know, that pickup was there for a couple days. Why did he have the pickup there? I was trying to be careful. Now this happened. Okay? Now, do you follow? You know, there's an emotion and there are things happening in here right then. There are things that were going on and my mind was going. Okay? And we're looking at the subject this morning of anger, frustration, impatience, and sullenness. What is it? What is it? You know, there's questions through my mind, you know, going through my mind, why did this happen? There was questions going through my mind, is God trying to tell me something? There was questions, there's lots of things going in my mind, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But all of us, I believe all of us, there's things that we face just like that. We like to talk about that. What is that? What is that? Over the years, in discussing the subject of anger with many people, here and there, I do find people that do justify anger, and I have yet to see someone that doesn't struggle with anger justify it. Most people agree quite readily that anger is not pleasing to God, and we want to look at some scripture as we go on down through here. But I think most of us here this morning, you relate quite readily about anger, that anger is wrong, and have a desire, if we are facing that and experiencing that, there's a desire to overcome and move forward in our life. But then there's another, I'm going to say, a more quiet form of some of this as well when it comes to frustration, impatience, and sullenness. That I'm going to say there's many of us that look at some of that and we ask ourselves a question, is it wrong? Or is it, you know, or is it really... okay, am I, you know, where does that all fit into the plan? There's questions that go through our minds. We know where we are with anger, but we look at frustration, we look at impatience, we look at sullenness, and we could even add pouting in there. And we you know, we look at those things and we're not so sure really where in the big scheme of things where it all fits in. I'd like to maybe begin this morning, if you want to turn with me to the book of Jonah. We'd like to just look a bit at the life of Jonah. And I'd like to consider some of the things that were going on with Jonah. There's many characters in scriptures that we could look at, but I'd like to specifically look at Jonah, as Jonah was a prophet. Jonah was a man of God. Jonah was one who carried a profession. Ahab, as another man who had a lot of things going on in his life, everyone would recognize Ahab as a very wicked, ungodly man. But if you look at Jonah, God had called Jonah to get up and to go to the city of Nineveh. And the Bible describes Nineveh as a very large city. And I don't know how big that Nineveh is. It describes it as a 3 days journey to walk through Nineveh. And I don't know whether that's the circumference out around. I know that there's some that have felt that maybe a day's journey would only be 7 miles. Normally, a man walking can very readily go 20 to 25 miles in a day. But let's just say, you know, it describes it as a three-day journey. So it's somewhere between 25 and maybe 80 miles long. I would tend to think it's probably not 80 miles long, but you know, it could very readily be a 25-mile long city through the diameter of it. But here, Jonah was called of God to get up and to go preach to the people of Nineveh. And the people of Nineveh were a very wicked and ungodly people. Now, who can tell me what Jonah's response was when God called him to do that? What was his response? He fled to Tarshish, which is the opposite direction. He went on a ship and he fled. Why do you think he fled? What was going on in Jonah's heart when he fled? He was frustrated. What else? What was going on in Jonah's heart? Why did he do that? He was unwilling. Others? What was going on in Jonah's heart? Fear. Fear. Unwilling. Frustrated. It was going against what he wanted to do. Everything boils down. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. I'm not sure that I'd want to, right? Okay. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. You know the story. He went out on the ship. The big storm came. He was swallowed by a whale. And when he was in the whale's belly, he prayed. When he was in the whale's belly, he prayed. And all of a sudden, when he was in a very difficult place, he became willing. Now, isn't that human nature? And in fact, it's very clear that God uses difficult situations in our life to bring us to the place of surrender and willingness. God does that. Okay, but consider with me, there was Jonah, and in the whale's belly, in his heart, he made a commitment, if I come out here alive, and he told God, I'm willing to go. So guess what the big fish did, you know, the big whale? Spit him out, and Jonah went to Nineveh. And as Jonah went to Nineveh, he had committed to God, and you know, the various ones of you here who have gone to New York City, a big city, and you've stood on the street corners and you've preached in the subway station. You've lifted your voice and you've preached to the people. And that's what Jonah was doing in Nineveh. He lifted his voice and he preached, and he said, this city is going to be destroyed. And he preached, and he was obedient to God. He was preaching, and he was doing what God told him to. And then he went out to the outskirts of the city, and he watched to see what God was going to do. And God had said that he's going to destroy the city. Now tell me this. When Jonah was preaching, how did the people respond? They repented. And so what should have been happening in Jonah's heart? Joy. Make him look like a false prophet. What should Jonah have been doing? He should have been thanking God. If the people were starting to repent, I mean, you read through there, you look at the account. I mean, all the people were fasting. The animals were fasting. You know, the animals weren't getting feed and they weren't getting water. And can you imagine the whole, You know, the king of Nineveh declared a fast for 7 days. And he said, I want you to fast all the animals and everything. Can you imagine that for 7 days, the babies, the children, the animals, all the neighing and the hee-hawing and the horses and the goats and the cows and all the bawling that was going on. And God in heaven heard the cry of all the people. And Jonah was sitting outside under a gourd. God let a gourd come up. And in one day, there's a bug came and the gourd died away. And guess what Jonah did? What did Jonah do? He got angry. Jonah got angry at God. Jonah got angry at God because of the gourd. And not only because of the gourd, he got angry at God because of the things that were happening. God was having mercy on the people, and Jonah was frustrated and angry at God and also at the gourd. Let's just read down through here. And I want to first maybe start reading in chapter 3 here. Chapter 3 in verse 10. We're just going to drop in there. And God saw their works, and that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness, and it repenteth thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Why did Jonah say, God, just take my life from me? It's better for me to die than to live. Why did he say that? He was frustrated at God. He was angry at God. He had a plan in his mind. He knew how this should be, and things were not going the way that he thought he should. And so in the middle of things going different than what he thought, and yet if you look at the big picture, a great revival, a great repentance was happening, but things were happening different than he himself thought, and he became angry and frustrated, and he wished himself to be dead. Then said the Lord, Dost thou do well to be angry? So Jonah, this is verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat down upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And then God said to Jonah, this is the second time, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. And I'd like for us to just consider this account with Jonah at some of the core issues that were going on in his heart, that Jonah was angry. Let's look at why Jonah was angry. Am I right in saying that one of the core reasons that Jonah was angry is because he was very self-willed? Am I saying that right? Jonah was very self-willed. And whenever things would happen that crossed his path in a way that was different than what he thought it should be, there was anger that rose up in his heart. And that anger rose up to the place that he even wished himself to be dead. And mark my words, if you know people that are suicidal at the very core and deep down in, they're angry. It might be a very quiet, sullen anger. But people want to die for the very reason that Jonah did. Because something has crossed their path, and there's something within them that they're sullen, they're angry, and when things don't go the way they want to, finally they despair to die. Jonah was self-willed, very self-willed man. Here's another thing that was going on with Jonah, is that Jonah refused to obey God. Now, finally, when he got into a corner far enough, he finally surrendered. And then things went on, and he said, yes, I'm going to go preach. And then when things again didn't go his way, he again got angry. Let me tell you, Jonah was a man that did not readily have a surrendered will and a desire to obey God at all costs. That was a problem with Jonah. Jonah had an unsurrendered, unsubmissive heart to God Almighty. He was very self-willed and had an unsurrendered heart. When he preached, this is Jonah, when he preached, it had to be on his terms. Okay? He consented to go preach, but then it had to be on his terms. And if I would say this, he was trying to control things. Am I right in saying that? He was trying to control things. Jonah was trying to control things. Well, Jonah is one example of an angry man. And I'm just going to say that some of those things are the core roots of anger. Unsurrendered heart. Things have to go my will or my way. A refusal to just totally surrendered to God in every area, but being self-willed. And I'm going to say, in leading people that are quick to get angry, I'm just going to say that there's a tendency to, if I could say it this way, be controlling them rather than leading them. I don't know if you follow that train of thought. If I'm controlling things and things don't go my way, then I quickly get frustrated. And if there's leading going on, then there's a following. And you know how sheep are. You know how our families are. Our children, they do this and that and all kinds of things. But if we're leading our homes, we're leading our families, and we're leading rather than controlling. If there's a control, everything has to be performed exactly right. If there's a leading, if sheep, our children, they run hither and yon, and yet they're still coming, you know. Our children, see the difference? Okay. I'd like to also just very briefly mention Moses as an example of a man who got angry. Of all the years that Moses was leading the children of Israel, there's one time when Moses became angry. Well, actually, there's various times that there was things going on in his heart, but there's one time that he specifically went and he disobeyed God. Because of the anger that was there in his heart, God said, you cannot enter into the promised land. This situation that arose with Moses was specifically in regards to God telling Moses that I want you to go get your staff, and I want you to walk up to this rock, and I want you to speak to the rock. When you speak to the rock, there's water going to come out. But the children of Israel, there's various things that had happened. They were complaining and whining. And in the middle of all this, there's a frustration and an anger that was rising up. And in the middle of that, rather than simply obeying God and doing what God said, he allowed himself to become angry. And in his anger, he smote the rock rather than speaking to the rock. Because of that disobedience, Moses never entered the promised land. Numbers chapter 20, verse 9, it says these words. Moses took the rod up from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must I fetch you water out of this rock? Wow, that wasn't Holy Ghost leading there. Moses lifted up his hand. With his rod, he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Now, I'd just like to just ask the question, is anger a fruit of the spirit or a fruit of the flesh? The flesh. Now let me just take another step with that whole idea. Let me ask you this. Is frustration, this is flesh. Let's take that marker. This right here is a fruit of the flesh, anger. I think we clearly agree with that. Okay, let's look at frustration. Is there anyone here who experienced frustration this coming or this past week? Raise your hand. I'll raise your hand. I'm one of those, okay? All right? Now, I'd like to ask the question, is frustration a fruit of the spirit or a fruit of the flesh? The flesh. Okay? Then why was all this going on? Okay? All right. What about impatience? Is impatience a fruit of the Spirit of God or a fruit of the flesh? The flesh. Okay, what about sullenness? Is sullenness a fruit of the spirit or is it a fruit of the flesh? The flesh. Yes. Okay. All right, yeah, good. Okay, let me start by giving you an example, and it's not exactly the same, but very similar. So, I have had in bygone years, haven't had it recently, but in bygone years, some of our children, when Martha or I gave them some direction, they sort of did this, and they went and they were sort of by them, pouting. It's almost like pouting. It's not pouting, and yet sullenness is this attitude like this. Okay? Pouting is actually, it's very close. It's very close to pouting, sullenness. But But sometimes when things irritate people, they become sullen. And what happens is people just have to, you know, dance around them and everything. You know, people are scared to even talk to them because they're sullen. Does that make sense? Okay. Good question. Okay, now, as we look at these things, anger, frustration, impatience, and sullenness. Now, these are words that we relate to. Now, I'm going to say that anger and wrath, those are very, very clearly, that is on a level that Scripture very clearly, Galatians chapter 5, where it very clearly condemns it, and it says, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And wrath, anger, actually, wrath is in there, anger is not. Anger, we're supposed to put away. Wrath is actually at the place where if a man has wrath, he is in the category same as an adulterer and a liar. A man that has wrath is in that category. Anger is in the category that it says, put it away. Frustration is in the category that it's put it away. Impatience and sullenness, they're in the category that Scripture says, put it away. Put it away. Put it away. It's not on the category where it's a sin unto death like Galatians chapter 5, but it's not a fruit of the Spirit. And if it's not a fruit of the Spirit, I'm going to say that we need to recognize that and take steps in our personal life to overcome. I don't know if you follow what I mean. So, let me go back to my account that I shared with you in the beginning. So I backed into the pole. I looked around. I saw the glass falling down right by the pole. There's another pickup coming down through. I stopped beside, you know, the driveway, and I crawled out. I wanted to see what damage was done. He rolls his window down and says, is there something I can do for you? And I, you know, there's lots of things that are going around in my mind right then. And I ask him, so is this pickup going to be here for a time? And actually, it's a part of my personal driveway. I asked him, so is this pickup going to be moved? And he said, well, yeah. He said, yeah, there's construction going on, and it's one of my workers here. And he said, after a little while, he said it'll be gone, you know, by tomorrow. Great. So I crawl back in my truck, and I go up the road, and this is what I'm thinking. I know in my heart I want to blame him. I want to blame everyone else. There's something, this is going on. And then I just said, Lord, I know, okay? Okay, so this, what was happening to me is a big temptation, right? That's a temptation. I hadn't sinned yet, but these things were going through my mind. So went up on 39 and I turned and I can tell you right where I was. And I just said, Lord, I'm not sure why all this is happening to me right now. But Lord, just take away my frustration. Just take it all away. I don't want to blame anyone. I just take personal responsibility, Lord. And Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Are you trying to teach me humility? Are you trying to teach me to be patient? Are you trying? And my mind went that way, okay? And I chose to respond in that way. Okay, now did I sin? I don't think I sinned. The thoughts were coming, the emotions, the feelings, everything was coming. I could have lashed out. I could have also stayed in that mode and allowed those feelings, those emotions of blame, anger, frustration, all those things, I could have allowed that to move forward in my heart. But within 3 or 5 minutes, I was at a place of rest where, God, you know what I mean? Okay. So there's a temptation that was coming for me to respond and do things. And to this day, I'm just open to God. You know, God was teaching me a lesson. I'm not sure what all, but that's okay. I just receive it at God's hands. And I made a mistake. It was my fault. There's no one else to blame but myself. I didn't have to back into the grass. I didn't, you know, I didn't have to back into the pole. I didn't, you know, all of those kind of things. I take personal responsibility for what happened, okay? Now, let me just tell you, I'm just going to say that when situations like that happen as moms in the home with the children, and as dads or young men out on the job and things happen, there are men and there are women who, when things happen, that thing will eat away for days. And there's a level of frustration, there's a level of impatience, there's a level of sullenness that people go in, because when that temptation comes, when those situations happen in your life, there's a decision has to be made how to respond to that. And we're all agreeing that these responses are fleshly responses. And the question comes, if these are fleshly responses, what is a response from the Spirit of God that's pleasing to God? Okay? Now, I'm just going to say that if I would have at all been connected with someone else, that I would have maybe said something that would have not been right, the right thing for me to do would have been to go back and apologize for what I did, as well as open my heart to God and say, God, what I did was wrong. And then everything is clear and we can move forward and we can receive these things as things that happen for our own personal refinement, so that the Holy Spirit of God can dwell within us in a more full, powerful, rich way than ever before. But many times, we allow these situations to just eat away at us. And let me just tell you, I know people, I've worked with people, there's people that when situations happen, these things literally churn in their hearts for hours and hours and for days and days. And maybe it's an offense from someone else. Maybe someone did something and I got offended by it. There's many, many things that happen that these things come upon us. Justin, can you knock? Can you do this to the, I forget his name, Conrad. Thank you for waking up. Let's just look at some scripture here. Here's some scripture that talk about anger. Proverbs 29 verse 22 says these words, "An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression." People that allow themselves to become angry, there's strife and there's transgressions that come out of that. James 1 verse 19 says these words, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath," now listen to this, "the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." I don't know if you get that. The wrath of man. Sometimes I've heard these discussions that I can have holy wrath. The Bible says The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Somehow for us as man, we're geared and because of our carnal nature, when we get angry, that anger within us is not a righteous anger. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The Bible talks about God having wrath upon wicked people. God has a holy wrath. Man does not. Man cannot have a holy wrath. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, or because of that, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, let all bitterness. Now how much? How much bitterness? Let's just park on that bitterness, you know, just a little bit. Bitterness. Here not so long ago, I walked up to our refrigerator and I got some of that lemon. I know what lemon is. And I put some in a little glass and I downed it. Now I was trying to do something for my throat right then. When I put that lemon, that lemon juice, whatever, when I drank that, it just became, it's like, you know, my mouth puckered. Okay, now listen to this. Let all bitterness. Now, this bitterness, let me just describe it this way. There are situations that arise with all of us. And when things happen that don't go our way, and maybe we don't even sin. Maybe there are things come. It's just a bad taste in our mouth. Here it says, let all bitterness, when things come our way that are bitter, okay, here's what to do with it. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with all malice too. Okay, now what do? We put it away. Now, I'm just going to say, anger, frustration, impatience, sullenness, those are not a fruit of the Spirit of God. They're a work of the flesh. And so those things we need to, like, put it away. Okay? Put it away. So 2 days ago, I was in the kitchen. Martha was doing potatoes. And all the peelings were there. And I asked her, is there something I can do? And she said, yeah, you could take these peelings out. So I got the peelings and I took them out. Threw them away. Put it away. Don't harbor it. They will come up. You will be tempted to be frustrated. You will be tempted to be impatient. You will be tempted to be sullen. You will be tempted to pout. When those things come, put it away. Over the fence. Over the fence. Now, that was easy for me to put the peels over the fence, right? That was easy. That's a piece of cake. But you say, how do I do this? Right? How do I get rid of my sullenness? And I get rid of my impatience? And how do I get rid of my frustration? Well, first of all, let's just say this. We will never get rid of The sullenness, the impatience, and the frustration, the anger will never get rid of us, of it. We'll never throw it over the fence if we don't recognize the fact that it's from the flesh and not from the Spirit of God. So, if we recognize it, a good thing to do is to just simply start being honest. Okay? Start being honest. Start being honest with your husband. Start being honest with your wife. Start being honest with the children. Start being honest with the people on the job. You know, I got frustrated and that was wrong. But you know what happens? We tend to be embarrassed and then we're quiet. We tend to be embarrassed that we were sullen and that we were impatient, we were frustrated. We tend to be embarrassed and so we're just quiet. Right? And then guess what? It happens again. Let me just say, the first step is to just simply start being totally open with it and just say, that was wrong for me to be sullen. That was wrong for me to be frustrated. That was wrong for me to be impatient or angry. And just have those discussions. Now, I don't know how I can say this, but there are many people who these types of things are tucked away in their hearts and you just don't talk about them. And I'd like to maybe help us take a step forward. I like to just, brothers, sisters, dads, moms, youth, I'd like to just encourage us to start talking about it. Moms, if you're impatient with the children, gather the children together. Gather them together. And just say, I'm sorry that I got frustrated. Would you please forgive me? I shouldn't have gotten frustrated. I shouldn't have gotten impatient. And just talk about it. You know, I'm going to try to not get frustrated again. And if I do, it's okay if you come talk to me about it. But just that dialogue. There's something about opening that whole thing up. Let me tell you, many people are closed. And I like to just help us to somehow open that door wide. We have to. The only way we're going to get beyond these issues is if we start being very open about what we're facing in our personal life. To God and to those around us. Recognize that it's a work of the flesh and not a work of the Spirit of God. When does it become sin? When does it become sin? Okay? There's a difference between a temptation and a sin. So, when I faced that thing, all these things were running through my head. That was a temptation. The decision that we make when those things come, the decision that we make on the heels of that is whether it's sin or not sin. Okay? If I would have allowed myself to keep blaming, if I would have allowed myself to just, that frustration to just keep on going, if I would have allowed myself to spew out on others, if I would have been sullen the rest of the day and people sort of dance around me because they know I'm irritated and don't do anything to Mark or he's, you know, he's going to be, you know, all right. Let me just say, how can I say it carefully? That's a work of the flesh. It's not from God and it's sin. I also want to recognize that sometimes when these things come, it takes a while to sort through our feelings and emotions. Okay? I want to give space for that. Sometimes when people do things to us, and there's an emotion that rises of frustration and anger because I feel misunderstood and all kinds of things, there's a need to sort through it in our own minds, and maybe we become a little bit quiet. And let me just tell you, husband or wife, if that's the case in your home, it's okay to just tell those around you, I need a little bit of time to think through this. And you tell them. Tell your partner. Tell those that, this happened, and I don't want to be bitter, but I need a little bit of time to sort through and think through it in my own heart. Okay, that's okay. But in the middle of that, you're not sullen, and you're just, okay. I don't know. Do you get the picture? Sometimes we need a little bit of time to think through, sort through. We ask God, how do I respond? How do I, how do I relate to this? And God, I'm choosing to not be bitter. I'm choosing not to be frustrated. But Lord, help me to think through it. And I'm just open about what's going on. I don't allow those feelings and emotions to control me. But it takes me a little bit of time to think through. There's a difference between a temptation and allowing that to control us. I think I'll just maybe read a couple verses here. To maybe sum things up. While we are in this life, we will always face these types of things, and they will come our way. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. But beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Now, let me just say it this way. He didn't say this trial that is, don't think it strange, this trial that came your way. He said this fiery trial. He said this fiery trial. And let me tell you, some of these things are fiery in our bosom. When they come upon us, and there's a level of temptation. There's a level of things going on. There's a fiery trial. There's difficult situations. Don't think it strange when these things come our way. That's a part of our sanctification. That's a part of God purifying us. It's a part of God bringing us to the place of full surrender, humility, testing us to where we put our faith and our confidence in Him in a much more strong way. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Let me read that again. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. All the things that come our way, God wants to use in our life to take us on further. And we need to choose whether we're going to allow that to take us on further, or whether it'll take us down and it affects everyone around us. I've worked with people over the years. I've worked with people who, if they're in that frame of mind, you just stay away. And let me tell you, that's wrong. It's wrong for a person to be at that place. Can I say it's sin? It's not right. It's not right. let's recognize these things for what they are and endeavor to open ourselves fully and to grow in grace, knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord bless you.